I'm gonna tell you, y'all did great. I mean, you really did. I'm not just saying that. That's the best I've heard you guys since I've been here. It was so good. It really was. It was very powerful, very moving. If you listen, a good choir is a great asset in a church. And if you have any musical ability in you, you know, Teddy's proved with a couple of them up there, he can get it out of you. Okay, all right. I'm kidding a little bit. You do resemble that, I know. So if you do, listen, please come, and I think you would enjoy it. I go sit in there sometimes, and they make fun of me, and I have a good time. And so let's take our Bibles and turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. Children, I know y'all are used to going to children's church, but today you'll have to listen to old Brother Avery. And I will try to do my best to help you guys see that there's a story here. A story for you to follow. A story about your past. And a story about your present and your future. The title of the message is Light Has Come. I'm going to read these two verses and then we'll pray. It says, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful, Lord, to have heard the gospel message and song. To know, oh God, that you sent your Son into this world to bring light into darkness. That he would teach and he would live and he would die and he would be raised from the grave. And he is indeed King forever. Even now we know that he is enthroned in heaven. And Lord Jesus, we praise you this morning and we thank you for the gift that you have given us. We pray today that your word speaks clearly to us. In Jesus' name, amen. So today is what is considered to be Palm Sunday, although it is likely that that probably occurred on a Monday. But Palm Sunday is the day that we celebrate every year, the week before, the Sunday before Easter, the day where Jesus rides into Jerusalem on the back of a colt of a donkey. And as he rides in, they're laying palm branches down before him as if he was a coming, conquering king. A victorious king coming in to Jerusalem singing Hosanna. They're singing praises to him as the Son of David. They're singing praises to him as one that has come from God. And in reality, his entrance into Jerusalem as a victorious king was truly prophetic, meaning it was telling the future of what was about to happen. Because as Jesus rode into Jerusalem in victory, he was coming to conquer. He was coming to have victory that day as he rode in. And Jesus would go to the cross and destroy the power of Satan and sin and death. And he would utter words, "It is finished," as he died on the cross and then was raised 3 days later. Now he came in victoriously, unlike any king that has ever entered into their home city. He came in victoriously to go and die. All the rest of them came in to be praised and lifted up and seen as king. But Jesus came to have victory in a completely different way, but in a completely necessary way. Had he not come in this way and ended the way he did, there would be no victory. It would have been a short-term victory, but not the long-term victory. So today, what I want us to consider is what it was that Jesus was doing, what it was that Palm Sunday was really indicating, that the life and the light of God had shone into the world of man. So today, I've got 2 points, all right? Two. And then an application at the end, or maybe just a way for you to live this out. One, we're going to look at the need for light. And secondly, that the light has come. The need for light and that light has come. We have a very unique view as Christians. For those of us who have been born again, those of us who have been saved, we see the world and the history of the world and the future of the world in a completely different way than everyone else. I was just thinking as the choir stood up here singing about each one of them and some of the different parts that they had and how they were all singing about one thing, about Jesus Christ. And I just felt such a connection with you guys as you sat there, as you stood there for a long time, okay? And you stood there, and I know that some of you are probably getting tired of standing, but I just thought about the connection that I have with each of you, that I'm your brother in Christ. Some of you are my sisters in Christ, and how we, although some of us are different in many ways, we all have one same thing we believe in Jesus, and we're connected. And as Christians, we have a unique view of the world, different than the rest of mankind. As we live now in the 21st century, we live 2,000 years after Jesus came and died and was resurrected. But this wasn't always the case for the world. Jesus had not always come into the world. We live on the other side of that. And as Christians, we live in that truth. But it was a time in the world where there was great darkness. Before Jesus came into the world, there was darkness. Now before that, there was light, which made the darkness so much worse. There was a time where the light could be seen, where the glory of God can be seen. When God created all of the created realm, and he said, "Let there be light." And God looked upon his creation, and he said, "It is good." And the light of the glory of God shined throughout the whole world. But it wasn't long after that that Satan came in. And he came in and he began to speak a few subtle lies to the children of God, to Adam and to Eve. He brought a subtle message of rebellion to their heart, saying, "Take and eat and you will be like God." Most of the time people say all she did was take something and eat it that she shouldn't have. No, what she really did is she had pride rising up in her heart, wanting to be in the place of God in her life. That was the root of Eve's sin. She wanted to have the place of God in her life. And if we're all honest in here today, we have that root of sin in us. That same exact root that says, "I will do what I want to do. I will say what I want to say. I will watch what I want to watch. I'll listen to what I want to listen to. I'll go where I want to go. I'll be around who I want to be around." We all have that root rising up inside of us. "I'll do what I want to do in the church. I'll not do what I don't want to do." We have that subtle root of rebellion within us that thinks that we are in fact God. We wouldn't say it out loud, right? If I was to ask any of you if you thought you were God, how many of you would raise your hand? None of us would. We wouldn't say that. We wouldn't admit that. But in reality, that root is within us. And that was the root of the original sin with Adam and Eve. That's what Satan implanted into them. And the world plunged into a deep, deep darkness. A time of great despair. The light of God had been covered. Men began to walk in their own ways. As even you see Adam and Eve's first son killed his own brother. Sin has a way of being cancerous to everything around it. Many men began to forget that there was a God who created them out of nothing. Men believed all sorts of lies. Some believed that there was something supernatural about themselves, that they were gods. Others made up gods that fit them. People forgot about the God who had created them. They believed all sorts of lies. Sin ran rampant among them. Brothers killed brothers. Blood was shed. Immorality filled the earth. And this continued day and night to the time of the flood. And even after that, although God would send messengers their way to warn them and tell them this is not the way, they were largely ignored or they were killed. The world does not like it when God comes in and tells them that they're wrong. Now, people love churches that make them feel good about themselves. If you're not a Christian in here today, and I make you feel uncomfortable, that's my job. I mean, it is. It's my job to make a person who is not right with God to feel very, very uncomfortable. Because we want you to see how much you need God. How important it is for you to humble yourself. You know, sometimes I get on Twitter. I kind of like it. I'm beginning to like it even more. I use it kind of as an experiment to see how people think about God and why they don't believe in Him. And it's amazing, and I see it with every one of them. Every one of them is filled with pride. And they would stand in the place of God and say, well, why did He do it this way? Why would God judge sin? Everyone I talk about this with, they always say, why would God create us and then judge us? They all want to stand in judgment over God. And they rarely will sit and say, maybe I'm the wrong one. So darkness came over the whole earth. And even today, it's still here. The scriptures describe the state of man this way. In John 13, verse 19, it says, people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. They're like cockroaches, right? You know what cockroaches do? If you go into a room that's dark, right? Now, most of you probably keep the cockroaches out with some things like that. But I'm talking about places where the cockroaches live, right? Now, they don't usually come out in the light, do they? You go into a room where some cockroaches have been, like let's say a storage unit or whatever, and you bring some light in there, what happens to the cockroaches? They scatter, right? They don't like the light. Now, there's a few brave cockroaches that'll come out during the day. I remember one time, Misty and I, we've had a cockroach in our home. Can you believe that? Misty is embarrassed that I would say. They weren't really cockroaches. They were called palmetto bugs, but they looked like cockroaches, and they're bigger. And we lived in the Delta, and they're everywhere. And poor little Aiden was in Misty's hands, and one come out in the daylight and fell right onto her. And Aiden goes, whoo! But she caught him. She caught him. He's alive today. You have those few brave cockroaches, but most cockroaches are not so. They scatter when the light comes. And that's what people are like that have not come to know Jesus Christ. They love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. Just like cockroaches, their little works are evil, aren't they? They going around doing things we don't want them doing. Nasty little disgusting critters. I'm sure there's a point for them. I just don't know. I'll ask God because that's their one little critter. I don't know the point. I understand ants and spiders and I don't. The book of Isaiah describes men as being like prisoners in a dungeon, blind and sitting in darkness. In Acts 26, Jesus describes mankind as being under the power of Satan, of the deceiver. Satan, who is a very real enemy of God and man, he has sowed deceit and darkness throughout the whole creation of God and has brought blindness. In 2 Corinthians, we see the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers. But God did something extraordinary. God sent light into the darkness. In John 1, verse 9, it says, the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. Now, I can't blame the people that I come across for their darkness. I'm not mad at them because they don't believe in Christ. I pity them. I have compassion for them. This is why we do church, why we're in ministry. This is why we give money to offerings so that the gospel we shared with people, because we want the eyes of the blind open. And that would never have been possible had God not sent His Son into the world. So our second point today, I'm already there. Light has come. Let's look at the verse that we shared to begin with. Verses 4 and 5 of John 1. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. You know, the way I see the world, I used to watch this television show called Heroes. Has anybody ever watched that? Be interesting to see who has. Some older, some younger. I like supernatural, like superhero type things. Don't judge me, all right? It's my generation. We're like that. But in this show, it was a lot of fun. It went off toward the end. The last few seasons weren't that good. But there was one point in there where these people with the superhero powers, that there was a guy that had deceived them because he had the power to manipulate the mind. And all of these people were living in this mental institution because he had the power to make them think that they were living in the place of their dreams. And so they were stuck in this institution for a year. And they couldn't get out because they didn't want to get out. They thought things were so good for them. But as the story goes, the hero comes along, and at great risk to his life, he comes in, and what does he do? He opens up their minds. And they realize, ooh, things aren't so good. I'm not where I thought I was. And he frees them. And that's really what it is that Jesus has done. Light has come into the darkness. You see verse 5, the light shines in the darkness, and darkness has not overcome it. Here's what happened. When God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit planned to create the world, they planned knowing that we would rebel against Him. In Isaiah chapter 49, he says, "For I am God, there is no other. I am God, there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purpose." If you notice in there, he says, there's none like me. I declare the end from the beginning. He's not saying, I can tell you the difference between the end and the beginning. He says, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen in the end at the beginning. And that His purposes will stand. So God planned from the beginning of the time that He would send Jesus into the world to suffer. At an appropriate time, Jesus was sent into the world. In Galatians 4, Paul tells us, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law." Jesus became like us. At the proper time. And He came as a light in a dark place. And He went around, Jesus did, declaring the ways of God. Now Jesus tells a story about how essentially it's a parable about the people of Israel. And how there was a vineyard and the owner sent all these messengers in. And they didn't like what the messenger had. So they would run them off and beat them and this, that, and the other. So He said, "I'm going to just send my son in there." And so He does. He sends His Son in there, and Jesus came and He preached on mountainsides, and He preached in boats, and He preached in homes, and He preached in public squares. He preached in the city. He preached in the desert. He preached in the church. He preached outside the church. He went around being the light. He cast out demons. He healed the sick. He healed the blind. He healed the deaf. He healed the lame. He healed rich people. He healed poor people. He healed Jewish people. And He healed Gentile people. And all the while living a perfect, sinless life. Jesus did these things, declaring the truth about God to all people, living without sin, yet tempted in every way, just as we are. And interestingly, He came to the one place on the earth where there should have been the most light. The people of Israel. that have been given the commands of God. If this doesn't tell you something about the nature of man, nothing will. That he came to the place where the men and the women should have known the most about God, and he found darkness. In John chapter 1, verses 10 through 11, he says, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. The brightness of the light was repulsive to them. They didn't like it. So they made up lies about him. They had him arrested. They had him crucified simply because he came and he told the truth. People will do that to people that tell the truth. They don't like it. Men do not like it when they're told they're wrong. Do they, women? We just don't like it. You're wrong. No, I'm not. That's not what I was doing. I did this. We ate it. So much so that murder and hatred filled their heart. So that they would arrest Jesus and crucify him because they didn't like what it was he had to say. Now it looked like at that point God had lost. It looked like no matter what God did, man would do their own thing. That he couldn't get his people back. That Satan had won them over. But look at the verse, verse 5. The light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. See, Satan, he's not as smart as he thinks he is. Darkness did not win. Light had won. God used the darkness against the darkness. Think about that for just a second. God is so amazing that he can use the very weapon against him in his own favor. That's what he did. He used their hatred for what is good. He used their lust and their envy and their desire for power against them. He used their murderous hearts against them by sending his son just to tell the truth, that they would kill him so that he would bear the sins of the world and bring light into the darkness. He died according to his own plan. Hebrews 12 says, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. The death of the light destroyed the darkness. They thought they were shutting off the darkness, off the light, but in reality, they made it shine ever more brightly. Look at what Jesus said to Paul. He's telling Paul, you go and reflect the light of the gospel to open their eyes that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are made holy by faith in me. See, Jesus had provided a way out of darkness by his death. Not only could people run from darkness to light, they could run and have their sins forgiven. They could have them washed away. They could be removed from the power of Satan. This is reiterated by Paul in 1 Corinthians where he says that God says, the God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Jesus' death and his resurrection is how the light shined ever more brightly. And belief in that light leads you out of darkness and into life. It says, so whoever believes in him may not remain in darkness. That's what the scriptures say. Now, the last thing I want to show you about this as we have looked at this, I want you to see how this is possible. In verse 4, he says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now, If you're not good at paying attention, you're not going to get this, okay? Like if you don't like to focus when the preaching has happened, you're going to go, I don't know what the preacher is talking about. I'm just going to put that on your plate. Like if you walk out here, I don't know what you're saying. I'm like, well, you don't focus very good, okay? Look, there are times in the Bible where you have to think. Well, I don't understand people sometimes. They want it so easy. They want it to be like a Dr. Seuss book, right? Where they sometimes those are hard to understand. But they want it to be so easy. But listen, we're talking about God here, right? We're not talking about, you know, just something that's real easy to understand, like maybe an ant. We're talking about God. And this is a verse you have to meditate on. And spend some time meditating on this to understand it. Look at this. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. In Him, in who? In Jesus, right? In Him is life, so in Jesus is life. And that life that is in Jesus, there's something there in that life. And what does he say it is? The life that is in Jesus is the light of men. The life that is in Jesus is the light of men. So what we see is Jesus is the origination of life. He himself is life. And when he comes to the earth, and when he came to the earth, he comes just as he is. Even when he comes as a man, he's still the author of life. And the life of God just radiates out as light. You see that? It's almost like he's saying the life that is in Jesus becomes the light for man. That's what John is saying. Now you know, like think about this on a small scale. You know there are people that walk into a room and they brighten the room up, right? Has anybody ever known a person like that? They bring up the room, like they lift up people's spirits in a sense. Like individuals have the ability to do that. It amazes me how that can happen sometimes. It's a dead room, Hey, we need to call so and so. He'll liven this place up, right? You all know that guy or that girl that can do that. It's beautiful. Now just you take that and you multiply that exponentially. And this is what you have in Jesus. We have a little bit of that from God. We have a little bit of that from God. But Jesus has so much more. The way that John, the apostle who writes this, perceived the life of God was by seeing the light that came from Jesus. That life was a manifestation of the life of God. So listen to this statement. It's confusing. I'll say it twice. That life gave... It's so confusing, I have to restart. That light gave life that gave light. That light from Christ gave life, while that life continues to give light. This is what he does in us. This is why we can exude the radiance of God with other people. We're called to reflect the image of God, the life and the light of God in our very own life. Jesus, while he was here, he called himself in John chapter 8 verse 12, which is amazing. He actually says this when they're having a celebration to celebrate the time when the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt and there was a light, a fire, a pillar of fire at night that led them. The Bible actually hints toward the fact that Jesus was that light. And the Old Testament people, they would have known that. He was in the pillar, and Jesus comes along when they're having the celebration, celebrating the light that led them. And he says, at that feast, at that festival, I am, it's one of the I am statements in John, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Can you imagine the arrogance that they were thinking when they heard this guy stand up in the middle of the festival where they're celebrating about God, and he gets up and says, I am the light. They didn't like it. Matter of fact, John even hints at the fact that he's surprised that he wasn't arrested. Even though they wanted to, it says, but he wasn't arrested because his time had not yet come. It's an amazing thing to say. He says, whoever follows me, so here's where the rubber meets the road this morning as I close out. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. Rather, they would have the light of life. Whoever follows me, following me goes far beyond saying a prayer, writing your name down on a card and being baptized. Following Jesus is following Jesus. When you're not following him, you're not following him. Following Jesus is how we walk in the light. Jesus would go on to say in John chapter 12, verse 46, I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. So this is the offer to you today. If you have never trusted in Jesus Christ, you get the opportunity to do that today. Now you may think, man, this is an overly evangelistic message, Brother Avery. But it's not. It's both. It's for our people in here that know Jesus already. Notice what has happened. This sums up what Jesus has done. And it was written almost 750 years before Jesus ever came. In Isaiah, he says, I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations. To open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. This is what God has done. This is what God has done for many of you this morning. Praise be to God that He took you and me. Don't get offended. I'm going to call myself this. Little peons. That's what I'm going to call myself. I'm a peon, right? I'm a nobody. And He decided to take me. He didn't have to do this. And He made sure the gospel was shared with me, so that I could have life. So that I could know God. So the application today is this. You can respond in two ways. Well, you can respond in three ways. You can be like a cockroach and run and hide. Go, I don't like that preaching. I'm not coming back. I don't want to listen to that. Or you can come to the light. You can come to the light like the wise man. Not like the wise in this world that thinks they're smart in their own eyes. But like the humble man that realizes he doesn't have all the answers. So he's going to go sit under the one who does. So you can come to the light. And for those of you who said, I have come to the light already. Praise God, right? So what should you do? Reflect the light, right? It's your job to be that person that walks in that room. And you reflect the light of the gospel of God to all the people around you. He has come that they may have life and have it abundantly. And He's given you the opportunity to be one of those people that speaks life into a room. I'm telling you, it doesn't. Listen, when you're critical, we've all been critical. I've been critical. That speaks death into a relationship, doesn't it? Ask my wife. When I'm critical, it just brings things down. That's speaking death into a room. We're called to speak life everywhere we go. So that's your response today, to reflect the light of God, which is the life of God, right? Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful for your goodness. You have been so good to us, Lord, and we do not deserve it. We have sinned so many ways, Lord, and we go do what we want to do so much. Lord, you have given us the light of the gospel of your Son, Jesus Christ, that we may have life. Lord, and so often, God, we hide it. And so we just ask for your help, O God, that we would not do that. Lord, that we will reflect that light to all the people around us. We'll speak life everywhere we go, Lord. If there's a person in this room that has never come into the light, Lord, we pray that they will today. In Jesus' name, amen.